Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at chumbacasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gable Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the podcasters, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. Let's do this thing. One more week until the Super Bowl in Santa Clara, California. But it doesn't mean we don't have football this weekend, as we've got the Senior Bowl ready for kickoff on a Saturday. We've got a full slate of college basketball this weekend. UFC. The Olympic opening ceremonies are right around the corner. And in fact, some of the athletes have started to leave. I saw the women's Team Canada, left for Italy last night. So the Olympics, don't forget, too, a couple of the events start before the opening ceremonies, including women's ice hockey and mixed doubles curling, which we've spoke quite a bit about, actually. The mixed doubles curling, and we'll remind you to get your bet in. On that. But man, we've got a lot of stuff going on. Australian Open, absolutely epic night of tennis from Australia. And it was on in the middle of the night on the East Coast. The one downfall for the Australian Open, a lot of people don't see it when it happens. But if you're on the West Coast, it's not too bad. But the Alcaraz match was just like over the top insane. In which it was like 5.5 hours, man. Zverev and Alcaraz. It literally was like a 5.5 hour marathon. Alcaraz was up 2-0. He blew the 2-set lead. Looked like he was injured, but it was really just cramps. Then he dug down deep, and it was literally like 6-4, 6-7, 7-6, 7-6. Like almost like all the sets, like everything was like there was 2 7-6s, a 6-4, and a 7-5. So it was like that close, and it took that long. It was that insane of a match. And then Sinner wins the first set easily and then does what he always does. He chokes, right? Like, Sinner is just like the biggest wussbag choker ever, man. Like, that's the whole thing, like, with these guys. Like, it's like, oh, Djokovic is amazing, and Nadal was amazing, and Federer was amazing. And they were. But the big difference is everybody else chokes all the time. Right? Like, they're all physically good, but like, they get into these, like, you shouldn't be losing to Djokovic now. Djokovic was getting killed by Musetti. The only reason he advanced is when Musetti got hurt and had to withdraw. And then, like, Joker even, like, they asked, what do you expect against Sinner? And Joker was honest, and he said, he goes, at my age, I don't know. He goes, sometimes I think I'm going to play good, and I don't. And other times, I don't think I'm going to play good, and I play well at this age. And he goes, I'm not lying. He goes, I really don't know, like, what to expect now. Sometimes he basically said, I don't know, right? Well, I show up and we'll see what happens. Well, he showed up last night and he just sort of, again, the classic old school Joker. And Sinner, whatever, dude. Like, there's no excuse for you to be losing to this old dude like this, but you're a choker. You're the Buffalo Bills of the tennis world. That's you. I hate to say it. Josh Allen, Jannik Sinner.
Guy's a minus 1,400 favorite. That's all you need to know.
Shouldn't call Josh Allen out like that, but I'm just being real. Rob Vino in the house. What's up, Rob?
Hey, Rob.
Yeah. What's up was me half the night because I had a play on that Alcaraz and Zverev match. And of course, it doesn't go until like 10:40 East. And then it has to take 5.5 hours. So I'm sitting there.
Dude, I'm on the
night.
West Coast. And even I was getting like, I was like, oh, wow, this is like, it was cutting into my Mannix time and stuff. I usually watch Alfred Hitchcock and Mannix. So I was like, man, oh my. I looked up and I'm like, man, I just missed the Twilight Zone already. I was sort of like, I got mad. I was like, man, this just thing won't end. And I had Alcaraz too.
Joe Mannix is good stuff. Nice. I think it's one of those Quinn Martin productions.
The best is you guys take a nap and the friggin' match is still on in the morning. Like that's it, like on the East Coast, right?
Yeah.
Like
that, I love the Quinn Martin reference there though, Rob.
It's like Streets of San Francisco, all 70s. Those ones that go act one, act two, act three.
The 70s.
Yeah.
You know what's crazy? And this is just random like TV stuff. It goes to show the weird stuff I have in my brain. That Quinn Martin had a show in the top 10 on prime time for like 22 years in a row.
Fantastic.
Yeah, people think of Aaron Spelling and stuff. But yeah, Quinn Martin, great reference by Rob. Quinn Martin was like the powerhouse of cop shows in the 70s.
Yeah, it's like Frank Cannon, Streets of San Francisco.
Streets of San Francisco, Mannix, Robert Files. Like good all, call. Like basically, like every that. Single, like you name it, like some of the other ones.
They're so good.
I think he's sort of the 80s. He sort of started to get boxed out. Yeah, Mannix, though, man, I'm a big Mannix fan, Rob. That's my show. And you know what? I'm a big, I like Cannon too. Big.
He drives around in that huge Lincoln.
Yeah, the Burnaby Jones, that's a little bit too, like. Yeah, you know I mean it's
corny.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like the I just like the 70s stuff, like the looks and like the girls and like everything. Like I think I just missed the 70s, right? But Cannon is really good. I mean, they never do it too. Like Cannon is like he said too. He was like, I was proud of it. Like he was the only like fat guy that was like a lead on TV.
Yeah.
Like he wasn't attractive. Like in those days, you know what I mean? Like you had to look like Robert Wagner on Heart to Heart or something. You know what I mean? Like, you had to be, like, in those days, they didn't want to put unattractive people on TV.
Yeah. Don't tell Columbo because Peter Falk running around out there with his trench coat.
I love that guy.
Man, Peter Falk.
He's smart as hell, isn't he?
No, he's the best. The dumb routine, the guy's the best. Frick out.
He's angry. He'd always play dominant on the way out. They go, I just have one more thing.
That's the best.
Fire tracks are like, yeah, he's always got the answer. Yeah.
It's so funny, Gabe, because you love those shows and Lisa does too. Like I'm up, I come down for like a drink and go take a leak and she's watching all the shows you do on that network at like 5 o'clock in the
Peter
morning.
Peter Falk can act. Yeah, he can act because all these people, they're all on like the Twilight Zones and the Alfred Hitchcocks in the early days.
Yeah.
There's a great episode of Peter Falk where he's a dictator. And he starts just like killing everybody, but it's like really deep stuff. Like he's like people think of him Columbo and stuff, but could act sort of like Boss Hogg on the Dukes of Hazzard. Boss Hogg was actually a Broadway classically trained actor. Poor bastard though, his life gets reduced to you're Boss Hogg, right? But he made money being Boss Hogg.
Absolutely, man.
Paycheck.
That's crazy. Well, real quick, back to the point. I had to stay up because that match was so good, Gabe. That's Zverev. Alcaraz match was so good. I think Zverev had a chance, match point, maybe more than one. But I'm sitting there just waiting because to close out the parlay to win, I needed Alcaraz to win that thing. And he finally did. And then the next one this morning, like you say, was good too. Sinner and Djokovic. Djokovic was, you know, looked like he was hurt in the second set, right? And then he comes out of that. And those guys are so good. It's not even explainable how good they are. Honestly, the shots that they make are incredible.
Nah, there's always a debate of people of modern athletes versus past times and stuff like that. And there's no disputing it. Like these modern players would murder Bjorn Borg and McEnroe. They would. And I grew up watching those guys, but it's just the power, the speed, the size. It's just a whole new world of tennis right now. When it's all said and done, you know, I wasn't like going out on a limb, but I picked Alcaraz and Sabalenka before this thing started. Do you think they finish it off, Cam? Sabalenka versus Rybakina. Rybakina.
I know I do that too.
Rybakina. Yeah, did you know that, Rob? It's not Rybakina. Everybody's called her
Rybakina. No, that's my girl. That's my girl, Elena Rybakina. That's my girl.
Good call.
Back medication, yeah.
So you think she's going to beat Sabalenka?
I do. And I'll tell you something, too. We'll see. I know Djokovic is old and stuff, but the whole thing is, like you called it, Gabe, like Sinner's one of those guys, like he's an amazing player, but with the skill set that he has, like you can't let an old guy like that, you know, minus 1400 beat you. And that's the thing about Joker. He can dig deep and deep and deep. And Alcaraz did the exact same thing. That's what separates the best. And Zverev, he's an animal. Like he had many opportunities, yeah. As Rob said, like he's crazy and he just couldn't get it done. And Alcaraz, you know, they were both worn out in that game. It's interesting. It's under 2 days. These guys got to get back together, but it's going to be Alcaraz, Gabe. I love your pick. I think both of them do win. Both favorites should take care of business.
I think Alcaraz is not a stone cold lock. Hell of a run for Joker, but Alcaraz is going to finish this off. Don't forget, this is the career grand slam for Alcaraz. He's never won the Australian Open before, and he's fired up to do it. The women, though, listen, what do you think? You know, Sabalenka is a stud, but there's always drama in her matches, Rob. Like, nothing's ever easy with her. Like, she will, like a fighter, she'll eat a couple of shots along the way. But I was talking about Sinner. One thing I love about Sabalenka, guys, and why she's so good, she's the toughest mentally out of all the women. Like, she doesn't, like, she gets frustrated sometimes and stuff, but, like, man, she's got like willpower, this woman. Like, and she just grinds you out. Like, she stares you down. She's big, so she sort of wears you out. I don't know if you guys saw, it's a podcast, and even with a podcast, I'll apologize and I'll warn people for the language, but I don't know if you guys saw when she won the other day. After, she looked over at Svitolina there and she said, "Fucking whore." Yeah, she said, "You fucking whore." Like, she muttered it, like, after she won. Like, she sort of clapped, and she said, "You fucking whore." And she went over and sort of shook her. People are like, "Oh, my God." Thing is, though, these tennis players say a lot of crazy things. Like, if you people are all over their lip-reading type stuff, right? Some people are like, "No, she was saying stop the war." No, she wasn't. You think she said stop the war after?
I'll tell you one thing, too, Gabe, about her. When push comes to shove, you said it, she wins tiebreakers. Like in that match versus Mboko, like the minute anybody gets a little bit of momentum, like if he goes to the tiebreaker, Sabalenka wins. That's the whole thing. She will make a couple loose shots. She will, you know, yeah, she does get angry and that's good. It motivates her, but that's the whole thing. When push comes to shove and you're in a tiebreak with her, good luck. She'll win. She'll win when it counts. So she'll get the job done.
What do you think, Rob? Are you going to, do you trust Sabalenka? Who are you going to play?
Well, I don't know. Like, my favorite women's player is Rybakina anyway. Just, I like her demeanor. She's always so calm. But it showed up again, the problem with her. And I didn't realize she's won 9 straight matches against top 10, ATP top 10 opponents, which is pretty strong. And she's beaten Sabalenka twice in a row, I think. But it showed up again against Pegula the other day when she had the match in hand. I think she had like 5 or 6 opportunities at match point. But her forehand goes astray quite a bit. And she just whacks balls out of bounds. She had like 25 unforced errors. And against the power of Sabalenka, you worry about that. And then what was even funnier, I don't know if you guys saw this, but her coach's box, they were so scared. They were like covering their faces every time she'd hit a ball out of bounds, getting PO'd. Maybe they had action on the match. I don't know. They were just like, finish her off. And it was to the point where she couldn't even look at her coach's box because they were so negative. But she did finish off Pegula. We'll see. She's got the power as well. They're total opposites, contrast in demeanors. That's for sure. Because Sabalenka, like you say, gets animated, and Rybakina, you can't. I don't think she says 2 words, so she could never say what Sabalenka said because she didn't say anything.
She's a flatliner. She doesn't get right. Like, yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
Kazakhstan.
I would say, personally, I think it's going to go, I think 3 sets could be in play here, right? I'd be surprised if one of them just smoked the other one, right? Like, you look at the spread even. Sabalenka's only -2.5, right? I think it's close. They played a lot, right? But I'm looking here, like, if they played in, like, a meaningful, and not really, right? At least not in the modern era type of thing. But they do collide quite a bit. They played this year, actually, in Saudi Arabia. You got to wonder, like, did Sabalenka care? And when was that, actually? I think, man, that was right around when she did that thing with Kyrgios, actually. It was recently. So, you know, now that it matters, it's a little bit different,
right?
I'm just thinking, all right, Sabalenka could dial it up. Sabalenka has beaten her. They kind of alternate, to be honest. So, yeah, like they're very competitive. When you look at the history, 8-6 overall. They've actually played 14 times, which is pretty wild. Sabalenka's won 8 times, and Rybakina's won 6 times. Okay, so college basketball tonight. Michigan are, what, 0-8 against the spread in their last 8 games. They're always this juggernaut behemoth, double-digit favorite all the time. I was curious what they were going to do with the point spread, Rob, with this game, and I was pretty accurate. I said, I think Michigan will be 1.5, 2.5 point favorites. They opened up at 1.5, and it never really moved. And now it's sitting at -1, so it's moved to 0.5. The total did finally go up. I was curious your take on that because I it was 145.5, I think, was as low at. I'm seeing 47.5s right now. This is the highest-ranked Michigan-Michigan State game ever, guys. Like, they've never been a combined this high before. The highest matchup that they ever had before was Michigan ranked 4th and Michigan State ranked 8th, which combines for 12. Tonight is 3-7. So, you know, they got a 3rd-ranked team, 7th-ranked team. So it's the highest-ranked game ever. I like what Tom Izzo said when they asked him, you know, if he hates Michigan. And he goes, what do you want me to say? Did I hate them? Yeah, I hate them. And he said, I hate them, but I respect them. And he goes, I used to not respect them, and I paid the price for that. But you could tell what it means, this game. And then you got Michigan that sort of want to prove that they are the best team in the country, even though they're only ranked 3rd right now. What's your breakdown, Rob, of this game tonight in East Lansing?
Well, we know what Tom Izzo will try and do, right? He wants to control the pace here, for sure. He doesn't want a lot of points in this game. Michigan, Dusty May's team doesn't want a lot of points. Before I even get started, though, Gabe, at least finally with Michigan, we've got them in a price range where it's not, you know, -15, 18, 20, whatever. All you got to do is, and the team total where they are concerned, which is always 85.5 to 93.5, somewhere in that range. Tonight, it was 73.5. It's going up to 74.5 now with the rise in the overall total. Listen, Michigan State does a couple of things really, really well, right? They play defense and they rebound, but I think Michigan can match them on the boards. Michigan's got more size, tell you the truth, than does Michigan State. So that'll be interesting if Michigan State can't crush the boards the way they like to do. For anybody who hasn't seen Len DeBorg, the UAB kid, play either last year when he was phenomenal and then transferred this year, or NIL out this year for Michigan. He's phenomenal as well. In the end, I think it probably comes down to these point guards. Elliot Cadeau has been great for Michigan. And Jeremy Fears, of course, on the other side. I think Michigan can negate a lot of the stuff that Michigan State does really well, Gabe. The fear, I guess, would be East Lansing and the Breslin Center. It's going to be crazy. Will Michigan, you know, be intimidated? I doubt it, but will they have a stretch, maybe 5-6 minutes, where the fans go crazy and Michigan State goes on a run? All that stuff would be in the liabilities column for Michigan, but I think Michigan's the better team. And I would probably look their way here. I didn't bet this game, tell you the truth, but I would probably lay it with Michigan here. I just think they're a field goal better than Michigan State is. Michigan State can go so dry at times offensively, and Michigan generally won't do that.
And for the record, I just sort of hit refresh, whatever. I was, you know, sort of scrolling and refreshed, and 148.5 now with the total.
Yeah.
It's just climbing.
Somebody likes it.
Yeah, 148.5, Michigan and Michigan State right now. And this isn't the only sort of massive game tonight where there's a ton of excitement on campus. St. Louis. The St. Louis Billikens. This is a dangerous basketball team that's kind of flying under the radar nationally because they weren't undefeated. They weren't getting the Miami, Ohio love because they lost the game. But some people think this could be like the best, you know, it's the best Billiken team since the Rick Majerus days, that's for sure. But they're playing Dayton tonight. And don't forget, guys, as I saw last night, like it's a hot ticket. It's the most expensive Billiken ticket ever. It's like $300 to get in tonight, like the cheapest ticket, which is unheard of for St. Louis Billiken basketball. But the St. Louis Blues kind of suck right now, even though they did win last night. And, of course, they don't really know the Cardinal, whatever. They don't really have anything else. So, like, I was seeing last night, the St. Louis beat writer was saying it's actually, like, the biggest, like, ticket in St. Louis sports in a long time type thing. They're hosting Dayton tonight, and they're jacked up about this game. The spread is 10.5, Rob. Have you been betting the Billikens along the – have you been riding this Billiken wave so far this year?
I haven't. I have them again tonight. And, in fact, my colleague, the co-host, Wager Talk co-host of our college basketball show, Full Court Press, is at the game. He got credentialed for the game, so he's going to be right there in St. Louis tonight. Like you say, Gabe, Trigger's going to be there, so you'll see some posts on Twitter from him at the arena. Yeah, he was saying that the tickets were insanely priced. It's funny, right? It's the traveling Indiana State show. Josh Schertz comes over from Indiana State, brings Robbie Avila with him, kind of goofy looking, but great basketball player.
Yeah, yeah. For and people, you remember, the kid with the goggles, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Remember the
– Kareem.
Kareem. But he lost weight, though, Cam. I don't know if he hit Ozempic or something. He's not as chunky as he used to be. He's kind of like – he's skinnier, but he's balling the kid.
Yeah, he has lost a few lbs.
Never really fat. He was sort of chunky. It was the goggles that made it, though, right? But yeah, Kareem. But yeah, you're right. It's sort of like the football, right? The transfer stuff. Indiana State comes over. They infuse with St. Louis, Rob. And is 10.5 too high? It was 11.5, wasn't it? Has it come down?
It was actually 12 and came down to 10. Anthony Grant's team, Dayton, is on a 3-game losing streak where they lost to LaSalle, St. Joe's, and Rhode Island. I don't know how you manage that. And Dayton's been lousy on the A-10 road. So there's plenty of at least technical ATS information where you would want to back St. Louis. But I've been playing their totals, Gabe. You know me. I'm playing totals before sides. And St. Louis's team total in this game tonight is 80.5. I went ahead and bet it over at that price this morning. That the total has since increased on the full game. I can see it. I don't think Dayton, you know, Anthony Grant's team, they want to come in and kind of slow this thing down. It ain't going to happen against St. Louis in their building. I would doubt it seriously. And what happens to these slow teams is when you put them in chase mode, they can't do what they want to do anymore. St. Louis can probably turn Dayton over a little bit. It's definitely a desperation game for Dayton, but this just isn't a vintage Dayton team. Like I said, the losses that they've had recently are ridiculous to me. So I like St. Louis's team total over. I like the price. I got 80.5. And I think there's a little wiggle room there.
Good call, Rob. These guys go over 100. Like, look at that. They had like 114, 102 against St. Joe's. Like, that total seems attainable. Like, they didn't get there against George Washington, 79, but all the other ones, right? Like, even on the road, they got 97 against St. Bonaventure. So,
yeah, it's like where crazy, you're going. Too, guys. They're one miracle three-pointer by Stanford over that Thanksgiving tournament from being 21-0. And the kid chucks up a three from the corner with, like, no time left on the clock and nails it. And Stanford, of all teams, goes home a winner in that tourney. Otherwise, St. Louis would be 21-0.
Other big games this weekend. We've got BYU at Kansas. Kansas, like, 3.5, 4-point favorites, depending on your book. Right now, the numbers are moving around a little bit. Kentucky at Arkansas this weekend. St. Mary's at Gonzaga. We got St. Mary's and Gonzaga. And in fact, Rob, I figure you like this, and I'll ask you for a pre-pick here right now. I will be in San Francisco next week. And while the NBA media and NFL media and all the, you know, all the big wigs are going to be looking for something to do. They're all going to go see the Golden State Warriors play the Philadelphia 76ers, right? Not me. I'm going to see the San Francisco Dons and Loyola Marymount Lions. So I'm excited about this. I was going to bring that up. Your boy Trigger, he just loves that stuff, huh? Like, he literally loves it. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, I love betting on this stuff, Rob. But for me, like, I'm thinking, man, no way in hell I want to be in some little gym in Albany or something like that, or at Iona or so, like, you know what I mean? Like, in a snowy night, like, you should see Adam Trigger, Cam. This guy, like, he posts pictures from, like, he really loves going to these games. Hey, Rob, like, he loves it. I love his passion for it, because least you know, if you're listening to this guy talk about college basketball, he puts his money where his mouth is. Like, he'll drive 18 hours to watch a freaking game of, like, a non-ranked team. Like he's hardcore.
So I'll give you the story behind this trip real quick. Adam actually had met an assistant coach from Tulsa when he was in Texas last year. Tulsa credentials him for this Sunday's game. So in order to go all the way out to Tulsa, he lives in central New York. He's got to make at least three or four other stops. Just want to justify.
What a group to meet at the time too. Tulsa basketball's like, yeah, whatever, dude. If anyone's interested in us, yeah, sure. Yeah, oh yeah, by the way, now they're good, Rob. So what a team to be buddies with. You know?
It's amazing because on this trip, St. Louis is good. So he'll be last night he was at Eastern Illinois, guys. That was his first stop. He went to the EIU game. So
Rob? Like, he just bets and travels to college basketball every small day.
Well, and we're doing our show, Cam, because we do a weekly 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Yesterday, he's in a hotel restaurant. All he had to do was order breakfast, and they allowed him to set up shop inside their breakfast room.
That's great.
Today, he was in the bedroom. He's on his way to St. Louis. Tomorrow, he's going to be at BYU, Kansas.
Wow.
And then on Sunday, he'll be at Tulsa. So he'll have four games covered and three good games.
It's the hardest core road trip ever. Like, look at these places he's going. Wow.
I drank too much, so I couldn't go to four games in a row, 4 days in a row. A good point. I'd just be worn out. I'd be hung over. I'd be like the next day, I'd be like,
I got to drive here. Crap.
But to your point, I consider myself like a junkie personnel-wise and whatnot, and I learned from him. Every single day, at least, you know, where these low mid majors are concerned, like the Northeast Conference, the Patriot League, all that stuff. Adam's so on top of that stuff. It's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, I look forward to it. It's the War Memorial Gym. Bill Russell played there, won a national championship. So it's got that history. Yeah. Like, I'm stoked. I look forward to it. That's what it's funny. Like the whole thing, Super Bowl week and all that. Like my wife asked me, you looking forward to the trip? I told her, I'm looking forward to the San Francisco Dons game.
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
I'm trying like thousands to go see a San Francisco Dons game.
That's awesome.
Good old smoking herb Simdek ran him out of the gym the other night with Santa Clara.
Herb
but
blast. Great.
Santa Clara is a good team.
I'm picking like the over, actually, right? There's no line, right? But Loyola Marymount. One thing, too, I think, I don't know. But I think they're honoring people. Like, they're not dumb. Like, basically, San Francisco Don tickets are usually like $14 and $10 and stuff. It's like $200 and $300 for this game. It's a Super Bowl week, so I wouldn't be surprised. Like, they got to do something. You know what I mean? They know that, how come all these people are suddenly coming to our game? Oh, because there's all these sports fans in town and sports media types that are looking something to do. All right, so football. We'll get Rob out of here in a couple of minutes. Football. Before we get to the NFL, but anything on Saturday? Any of these teams catch your eye? Any of these big games on Saturday or under the radar? Have you taken a look at Saturday's card yet for college basketball?
I'll say this real quick. In Kentucky, Mark Pope, that team's a mess, and Arkansas has been so dominant at home. I have to find a way in that game to play Arkansas. BYU Kansas will be great. The Bansta against, I think Darren Peterson comes back for KU. So you got two of the best freshmen out there. That'll be good as well. But I think of the ones that you rattled off real quick, the one that caught my attention right away was Arkansas should be good at home. St. Mary's Gonzaga will be a really good game too. The WCC, I just talked about Herb Sendek and Santa Clara. They could send three to the tourney. So we'll see. But I would look to find a way to play Arkansas tomorrow.
So, Rob, if my memory serves me correctly from the other night, did you have 38.5 in that bowl game in the Shrine? Was it 38.5?
I'm thinking of people that I could possibly text about the East-West Shrine game. Wait a minute.
I brought you up on the air during the game because you're not going to believe this, Rob. I saw you. I said, oh, damn, it snuck up on me. Cam, I didn't expect a game on Tuesday. Like, I follow this stuff, too. I swear to God, I was like, man, I thought in my head, I've been bad with dates, like for whatever reason, the last couple of weeks. But like, I sort of in my head, I was like, yeah, the Shrine Bowl is on the Thursday and the Senior Bowl is on the Saturday. I sort of had that in my head. They never had it on Tuesday before. So it sort of came out of nowhere, Rob. Like, I mean, I'm like, like 10 minutes. I was like, what's going on? I'm like, it's now. And I was sort of like, so I was a rush job and I was on the right side. So I took Team West. Remember, I told you to message. Yeah, I grabbed Team West. Yep. But Rob, I was like, you know what? I'm going to grab the under. And I wasn't fading you. I did it before your message. I was like, it's in game 36 and a half right now. We both got screwed. That stupid late touchdown.
Then, wow.
So it gets to 38, and then they go for two, and they don't get it, and then you lose. And I brought you up. I said, I can't believe this. I said, I lost, and my buddy Robino just lost, and we had different numbers. We both just got screwed on this.
Yeah, such as bowl games. I mean, like I said, I couldn't think of anybody else that I knew would be interested to text. So
no one's on top of this stuff. I brought it up to a bunch of people. Nobody, like, they're looking like I'm talking about the Egyptian, like, Cabal League or something.
I've been enjoying watching the Senior Bowl practices on the NFL channel. I think they're great. Like, I watch them all the time. I watch them before golf starts. I love it. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, so speaking of which, actually, if there's a player that's really made a name for himself this week, for anybody that's paying attention, is Derek Moore of the Michigan Wolverines. Derek Moore is, like, literally ragdolling people all week. Like, he's making other kids' draft stock fall. Like, he's actually, like, a menace to society. For the record, he's on the American team. So you got the national versus American. The Michigan guys, they're on the American team. So you got Texas along with them. But just a quick look at the quarterbacks. People want to sort it out. Who's the quarterbacks in the game? The American Conference is Talen Green, former Boise State quarterback, Arkansas. Talen Green, Luke Altmyer, Illinois, and Garrett Nussmeier of LSU. For the record, Nussmeier has been the guy this week. There's always a quarterback that sort of wins the week, so to speak, in practice and stuff. And it's been Nussmeier. Nussmeier's been he's been the sort of standout quarterback here this week. Team national team is Sawyer Robertson from Baylor, Cole Payton from North Dakota State, and Diego Pavia from Vanderbilt. Now, Rob, it's much more deeper than the quarterbacks, but, you know, I'm not going to go over the entire rosters. What are your thoughts? I should note this national team has a really good stable of running backs. So let me throw this out here, actually. So the national team, Pavia's team, he's got the Penn State running backs on his team. So you got Nick Singleton, you got Katron Allen, you got Thomas Starr from Starr Thomas from Tennessee. You got Jamari Taylor from Virginia on the team. Seth McGowan. Some really good running backs are on the national team. The total is 40.5. The national team are favored by 1.5. Did you something jump out at you, Rob? And then I'll share what jumped out at me as far as this game is concerned. But do you like a side or the total here?
Yeah, and you know, generally in these games, Gabe, it comes down to which offensive line can be cohesive enough to protect and run block. A lot of times the skill, so why these games go under a lot of times, because the offensive lines just don't play with each other enough. You've got a week of practice to get it all settled. But I did side with the better quarterbacks in this one. I just thought, because Green brings the dual threat ability, lots of times dual threat quarterbacks are difference makers in games like this. And then of course Nussmeier, they'll allow him to try and put on a show. His dad is actually there scouting for St. Louis, Doug Nussmeier, or for New Orleans, excuse me, Doug Nussmeier. So I tried the American minus the points. Another standout in this game, just because I come from the Missouri angle of this, looking at the Mizzou kids, was Zion Young, defensive end, who's been really, really good in these practices. So you got such talented kids on both sides, but I think that Nussmeier-Green combination is probably the difference here.
As it is now, national team minus 1.5, the American team plus 1.5. So we're actually getting 1.5 with Nussmeier and company.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes, you sort of look for the mobile quarterbacks in these all-star type of games, right? Yeah. But I think that's more the case in the lower tier all-star games. There's different dynamics. Nothing's the same. These guys are so freaking fast on defense, man. Right? Like, it's, and the defenses will make plays. That's why these games suddenly go over. Like in the old days, these all-star games were automatic unders, right? It was just like, man, it's going to be an ugly game. There's nothing's going to happen and stuff. not anymore, Rob. Like, there's, you know what I mean? You get the pick sixes, you get the short fields. It was interesting, I thought, in the Shrine Bowl, how seriously the coaches took it in the fourth quarter. We were laughing about that online, on air. Mm. It was like they were playing the clock, and they were playing to win, man. Like, it wasn't like, oh, let's just showcase. But oftentimes, coaches will go for it in this stuff because they want to see the players, right? Let's see them in a fourth and situation. Let's see the kicker try a 58-yard field goal. So a lot of times, the Senior Bowl can get aggressive in the modern era. So, you know, the total, I'll put it this way, I'm not running to bet under 40 and a half, Rob, here.
I don't blame you. I wouldn't either. To tell you the truth, these coaches, funny you mentioned that with the stabs, because they're NFL stabs on each side, and they do want to see guys in certain situations. So all the examples you just brought up end up being true. I think I cashed the over last year. I'm trying to remember, Gabe, really quick, but I think the Senior Bowl game did make it over last year, and that one just missed the other night. I would blindly play it over just because 41's available to win here, 24-17, something like that. Real quick, I had mentioned offensive line play earlier, and if you want the full breakdown on that, quite honestly, the national team does have the better offensive linemen, but we'll see how it goes here. I like the quarterbacks on the other side.
Just for the record, last year's Senior Bowl, 22-19. So yeah. You know what? It has played to the under. We got 22-19, 16-7, 27-10, 20-10, 27-24, 34-17, 34-24, 45-18. So there was a little bit of a run there. Yeah, of course it was 34-17 when Matt Patricia was the coach. Defensive genius. Matt Patricia was one of the coaches for the coaches this week. It's Joel Thomas of the Saints and Clint Hurt of the Philadelphia Eagles will be the head coaches of the Senior Bowl. Okay, so we go from the Senior Bowl to the Super Bowl, and I've been sort of trying to circle props and, you know, build my portfolio up a bit. I haven't really fully, like, you know, jumped in. Stuff that I've shared so far, I like both quarterbacks passing yards to the over. I like Cooper Kupp over 2.5 receptions in the football game. I haven't seen the prop yet, but I'm trying to find a penalties prop. How many penalties there's going to be in the game. And I want to go under. These are the two least penalized teams in the National Football League. Super Bowls, they let players play as well. So I want to go under in the penalties. But this is something that I got from my boy, Joe Gibbs, NFL Ref Stats. It's a great follow, Rob. I don't know if you know him. I can send you, you know, a link to his page too, but he's got like the best info as far as refs are concerned. That's his gig. And very interesting. He was talking about roughing the passer penalties in the Super Bowl. There's only been two Super Bowls in the last 15 years that there's been a roughing the passer penalty.
Mm.
They don't call it. Like, they don't call roughing the passer. And it's funny because they call unnecessary roughness in a higher proportion in the Super Bowl. So, like, a late hit, whatever, you know what I mean, headshot, you know what I mean? Like, so they'll call penalties, but they don't call roughing the passers. Now, I don't know if it's because you're in the Super Bowl, the quarterbacks are good, and they get rid of the ball quicker, or what, you know, what the method is, but whatever. So just for the record, it's minus 150, no. So that no roughing the passer is minus 150. Yeah, and if you want to look at it from an analytical value number, guys, if you consider it's 13-2 in the last 15 years to the no, Rob, minus 150 is actually not a bad price.
Not at all. I mean, I wouldn't have been aware of that. Really quickly, just a thought, because I have not gone through this entire mountain of props yet, Gabe, so I don't have anything to, you know, stand with conviction on. But I am looking at some of these New England Patriot defenders, tackles, assists and tackles, I think is how they count them in the stats, to go over, only because I think Seattle's going to own time of possession. I think Seattle's going to have more total plays, more opportunities for New England to make tackles in this game. So I'm looking at a couple of New England defenders once I go through the numbers here, see which ones I want to pick out. But that's one angle that I usually come from every year, is playing some of these defensive numbers.
Cam, what have you come up with now?
Actually, I think AJ Barner, Gabe, his number is pretty low. Like, that's what I'm looking at, 25 and a half receiving yards. I like the over there because I think he's going to be a part of it. I agree with you on Cooper Kupp. His yardage, too, first of all, 2.5 catches, a little bit of juice, but 32 and a half yards receiving. I like that. But for New England, I think Travion Henderson is going to be a way bigger part of this game. You know, a lot of the time it's been Stevenson, but this is a Super Bowl. He's 16 and a half rushing yards. I like over there. And I'm also going to look at his reception props. I think he's going to get a couple out of the backfield, Gabe, but that's what I'm looking at now. I've already got, you know, the Helani receptions over 8.5. I see it 9.5 in a lot of books. That's what I've taken right now for my props.
Rob, how exotic do you get when it comes to the Super Bowl?
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food. And before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Pretty conservative, Gabe. I'm generally in with player, you know, player props over under, like Cam was describing there, rushing yards, receiving yards, receptions, like you were talking about. Generally, I stay in that lane. I don't get out to the, you know, will the Lakers have more points in the first half than so-and-so has rushing yards or whatever. But yeah, I'm pretty conservative with them, but I do play a bunch. I probably play between 8 and 10 of those types of props. So for me, that's a lot of prop bets.
It's funny you bring those up because I used to like those, but I saw our boy, your guy Carmen Bianco, was asking the Westgate, well, when are you going to post the cross sport props? I'm thinking, why do you care? Like, they're just dumb anyway.
They are so stupid.
I love Carmen. Like, hey, Carmen, you want to bet on a shots on goal prop?
He
bet
does.
On a shots on goal prop. You don't need to combine the two of them.
Yeah, Carmen's good, though, Gabe. You know, Carmen, he's pretty sharp.
I used to look forward to that. Oh, look, LeBron rebounds versus field goals. Then I just realized, just bet the effing field goals.
Exactly.
The same price.
They look fun, but I'm like, no, I got enough business to take care of regular props.
Or they're just like, sort of trap parlay plays. Like, I don't really want to, like, you know.
They're fun, but.
No, I used to. It's funny, though. I used to love those things. I used to eagerly, I can't. Oh, look at this. And look at waste management total score round versus, like.
I don't even look at them now.
Now I'm old and grumpy. I'm like, F you. What's the point of the game?
Screw, I'm not mixing golf with the Super Bowl.
I'll go with your player props, but I don't care about your. I had somebody the other day. Reggie, color or Gatorade? I want to answer. I don't know. I don't care. What do you want me to tell you?
Oh, is it orange or red? It's pretty close. Like, shut up. Like, I'm with you, Gabe. Like, just give me the regular.
I'm going to find out, though, because you got to. The only thing is, I've asked players this often. I asked the guys last year at the Super Bowl. I asked, if you remember, I point blank asked them. I said, what color Gatorade do you guys drink? And the guy started laughing. Who was it? It wasn't Xavier Worthy. It was Darius Slay. I asked a bunch of guys, and they said, oh, yeah, you want to bet on the Gatorade? They started laughing. And one of them told me, he goes, honestly, he goes, we don't have Gatorade. And I think it was the Eagles. He goes, we don't have Gatorade. He goes, it's actually water in our Gatorade. And another guy said, he goes, we change colors all the time.
Don't they got different flavors?
He said, like, they weren't locked in on one.
Yeah.
Another guy told me, he goes, we all have different flavors. And, like, he goes, no, we don't have, like, a particular color. Like, People get hung up on that stuff. Oh, they like the color.
I'm done with that.
They think if the jersey is red, they're going to pour red or something. It's like, no, it's not automatic like that, you know? Like, and don't forget, too, there's multiple Gatorade jugs on the sideline.
Yes.
So it's like, I don't know, the defensive lineman happened to pick up the lime one because that was closer to him. Like, it's that whole – but I don't – what about the national anthem? That's another one, Rob, I don't do. I used to do it, and there's always an argument about it. Like, I remember once I got screwed years ago with that. But the last question I'll ask you, though, is there's an interesting one. People, like, they always invent these new things, right? So remember they invented the octopus, right? And it was like, oh, what's the octopus? And people didn't know. And it was like, will a player score a touchdown and then the same player score on the two-point conversion after? And Jalen Hurts has done it. It's rare that it happens. But now you got a new one. I don't know if you guys saw this one. The scoreigami. It's 15-1 only. So I want better odds, but it's 15-1 that the Super Bowl final score will be a final score that's never happened before in NFL history.
Alert.
In history. Wow.
Yeah.
Not just Super Bowl history, no. NFL history.
Yeah. An NFL game score.
15-1. That sucks. There's so many options out there. I'm with you.
Yeah. Like, but there's a lot of weird scores, Cam, that you'd be surprised or normal scores that you'd be like, wow, that's never happened before. And I'm thinking if there's a weird game, this could be the one, like 1918 or something stupid. Like, it wouldn't shock me. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I'm just thinking, this might be the one actually. There is some sort of weirder score, but we're gonna go over them. I'll be total punts, total offensive plays. Why don't they have freaking total penalties here? So annoying. Total sacks, man. If you see the total penalties somewhere, guys, let me know. But I'll be doing the shows next week, Rob, so we'll catch up with you. Maybe the timing, I'll set it up with you guys, but maybe the timing will be a little bit different on Friday. But I'll be on Media Row next week, and we'll bang off the picks and everything like that next week. So we'll get Rob Vino's one last crack at the Super Bowl with your picks, Rob.
Beautiful, Gabe. Hey. Have a safe trip. Enjoy the San Francisco Dons.
Here's a pick for you, Rob.
Yeah.
Here, Paisan, here you go for team Italy. Team Italy mixed doubles in curling. So you got the curling, men's, women's, and mixed doubles. Italy, mixed doubles.
Hammer. Watch out for that team.
They're undefeated, right, Gabe? 11-0, you say?
They're 22-0. They went 11-0 in the last Olympics.
Wow.
And they just had the trial and all that type of stuff in the World Championships, and they went 11-0 again. They're 22-0. They've never lost before. I'm kind of ruining the number because no one talked about it, and they were plus 130, plus 140 before, and it's like minus 110 in some spots now. Pat Mayo, I went on Mayo show, and he moved the number. So everyone's like, I want to this. But, yeah, hammer it, Rob. It's going to win. Parlay with your Super Bowl bet. You'll thank me later.
Totally appreciate it, Gabe. All right, guys, have a good weekend, too, and Rob. Gabe will get with you next week.
Yeah, mixed doubles. Yeah, the odds just keep dropping and dropping and dropping and dropping for that. But that's my first Olympic bet. And you got to get this in here, I'll confirm. You got to get this in pretty soon, actually. Like I said, I've been bad with dates recently. You figure I'd be good with dates, but I'm not. I don't really care about dates. I'm good with days and I'm good with time and stuff, but the number of the date, I don't really care about. It doesn't really affect me. Here we go. All right, market. Man, it's minus 110 right now at Bet365. Book closes February 4th, but Bet365 is actually like a day ahead because they're on Euro time. So really February 3rd, which is what? Like
coming
Tuesday.
Up.
Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever thing. So, like I said, the opening ceremonies are on Friday for the Olympics, but the curling will start and the women's ice hockey will start ahead of the women's hockey starts like next Thursday, which is the 5th, and kind of the lower tier countries. USA and Canada play on the Tuesday. But, yeah, the Olympics are just days away right now. So check out I did a podcast with Pat Mayo. It's a video and all that type of stuff. He's posting it all over the place. for the gist of it, though, we kind of was a lot of curling talk. But Italy mixed doubles in curling. Great Britain going to win the men in the men's side. Don't fall for this Canada stuff about Canada curling this and that. And I don't even think Canada's women's are going to win either. But Canada's women's are favored. Canada's men's are the second choice to win. Canada, this will surprise people, but Canada have not won a gold medal in curling at the Olympics since 2014. People think of Canada as like a curling dominant country, and they are, but they've choked in the Olympics for whatever reason. And like Rachel Holman is one of the greatest female curlers ever, and she's the skip for Team Canada in the Olympics this year. She chokes in the Olympics all the time. And Brad Jacobs is like a legendary skip. He chokes in the Olympics. Like I said, they haven't won. Canada has not won since Brad Gushue won in 2014. And even wilder, as I'm sure people are like, man, I didn't know Morenci knew so much about curling. Even wilder is the fact that Team Canada, a Canadian curler, a Canadian men and on the men's side, a Canadian men's curler has not won a world championship since 2017.
Wow.
Like, so Canadian men curling is not like this. Oh, they're all that. No. But what's weird, Cam, is Canada's men's, the women have won 7 of the last 8 world championships. So the Canada women are the dominant team. Agreed. But they choke when they get to the Olympics. The Canadian men are not the dominant team anymore. Like it's the Scots. The best guy is a Scot, but he's under the Great Britain banner in the Olympics. So like, I think Great Britain's going to win the men's side. And here's a hot take here for everybody. Switzerland is going to win the women's side.
Interesting.
You can get +300 at Bet365 on the boost. It's +275 or so, Cam, but they have it boosted to +275. Yeah, this is Trezzoni, Silvania Trezzoni of Switzerland. She's been dominant, bro. Like, I saw she won, like, she's been dominant on their pro curling tour type thing, on the Grand Slam events. She's not intimidated by people type of stuff. Like, I'll get into it next week when I really get the final best bets. But yeah, like Trezzoni is really dangerous to win at +275. And in fact, I think she is. Like, I think it's going to be Switzerland and Canada. And my dark horse, let's get in on this one, guys. Sweden, Cam. Sweden, men's curling. That's who I'm taking to win gold. Sweden.
I agree with you with the men, like even though they do well in some of the competitions. I knew Kevin Cooey, and then he moved down to Alberta. He was like a Canadian like champ for a while, then Gushue. But you're right, in the big games, like these other countries, everyone just assumes Canada is this country that's going to get it done. So I like your angle, Gabe. I really do. I think, I don't know too much about. I'm going to do some deep research on the Switzerland team. You're saying getting 3-1. I'm going to read into that.
The Swiss med guy, Nick Eaton is his name. He's the defending gold medal. He is the defending gold medal champion. All right. So he won the gold medal in the last Olympics, his side. Like, so Sweden are the defending gold medal champs in men's curling. And I saw he's hot this year as well. Like, he's won 7 of the last 8 events or whatever. Like, he's smoking hot. And he didn't talk about the odds, but he basically said, Cam, like I was reading, and he said, no one's talking about my team for some reason. He said, it's all about Great Britain and Canada. And like he basically said, we're going to say, don't forget about us. We are the gold medalist. And I'm like, yeah, he's also 12-1. I'm getting 12-1 with a Swede with a chip on his shoulder saying, yeah, come in. He basically said, you want my medal? Come and get it. Like he was like telling everybody. Everyone thinks this Scott guy is the impossible. Like Great Britain are +100. Like they're massive favorites. And we'll get into it next week, but women's hockey, there's ways to make money in the Olympics, guys, with this stuff. You've got to mix up, like, the groups. Like, who's going to win this group in men and women and stuff like that, and you mix it up. I've got a bunch of weird combinations, and I'll share it with next week with you. But I'm high on the USA women's hockey team. We'll put it that way. We're high on the Italy mixed doubles. I just talked a little bit of curling there. And I tried to talk myself into saying that, you know what, maybe Norway's not a lock to have the most gold medals. Maybe Germany can knock them off, but no, it's a lock. They, dude, they had 10 more gold medals. Like, I saw Canada's preview today for the Olympics, Cam, and it was like CBC, and I didn't get a chance to read it yet. So I just sort of saw the headline, and I sort of saw it a bit. Canada's like projected to win. They were like, Canada like can maybe like win a couple of gold type of thing. And they were saying, you know, women's curling and hockey and blah, 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 blah. And like, it's not like the summer games, guys. Like, it's not that many medals in the winter games. So like, Canada can might win like 4 gold medals if we're lucky. Like, let's say we win a curling gold, women's curling, men's hockey. And then, I don't know, some chick from Quebec that you and I have never heard of, like on a half pipe or something, or some sport we don't know. You know what I mean? Can, you know what I mean? Like,
no, the thing about Norway, too,
Quebec always does good in the Olympics. There's always going to be these Quebec girls, like speed skating. Like, there'll be a chick from Quebec that'll win in speed skating or something. But, you know, we might win 5-6 type thing. They haven't put the exact prop up yet. But we're only, like, we're actually one of the favorites. So my point is, like, Norway have won 30 gold medals in the last 2 games, like 15 and 16 and 14 type thing.
Yep.
And they won 10 more than Germany. Like, you can't, there's no, where you can't close the gap on Norway. Unless, like, you're going to, there's too many ski events that Norway wins.
That's the thing that I was going to say. Like, alpine skiing, biathlon, freestyle skiing, Nordic combined, that's the whole thing. And Norway sometimes takes 2 out of 3. That's the whole thing, Gabe. That's where they do. There's too many events. That's where they're going to get their medals. And it's too hard to compete with that.
They've added some new sort of bobsled stuff. So people were sort of thinking, all right, this gives Germany a little bit of a crack at this. Because Germany are going to dominate in that. Like, they you know, these countries are sort of dominating in sort of different disciplines. But it's a solid bet, guys. Norway's going to have the most gold medals. Just kick back and watch them rack up the 3,300 kilometer ski cross country, whatever, biathlon and blah, blah, right. Like
cross country ski, biathlon, freestyle, Nordic combined. Yeah. They're but
Germany will be second. It won't be the USA. Like I said, more of these props will start to pop up, but it won't be the USA. It won't be Canada. It's going to be Norway and Germany again. And like I said, I look forward to seeing the exact gold medal counts for this stuff. So, you know, depending on your book, like I said, and I'm not getting paid to say this, but Pat Mayo's book Cool Bet did have some good Olympic lines. And I know I clicked on it, and it's funny, Pat Mayo's face pops up. You get the Pat Mayo bonus and stuff.
You can bet there, Gabe. I can't. It's not in Ontario. Every other province.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, it's everywhere except there.
Yeah.
I haven't checked in with Bet99 yet. FanDuel is pretty good. Like, FanDuel, I've noticed, is sort of a little bit slow with it, but if you poke around FanDuel, they're starting to post like alpine skiing lines and whatever. Like, they're starting to get into the more exotic sports. Bet365 is a little bit slow as well. But I think, you know, basically, whatever. You know, they want to get through the Super Bowl and then they're just going to drop all this type of stuff. Boom, boom, boom. Like, it's going to be all Olympics for 3 weeks. All right, we're going to wrap it up. Cam, you have any plays on the way out here? Golf or anything else?
Yeah, in golf, I was just looking at, Gabe, I got a super, super underdog for you. John Perry, I took him at the start of the tournament at 80-1. You can actually get him in a T5, T10 situation. He's playing really, really well, and he hits the ball straight. So that's something that, like, if you guys are looking for, like, some value on the golf course right now. And another one, I already had him, and he's at the same odds, Sam Stevens. Watch out for him. Right now, as we're taping this program, though, there's a lot of dangerous players. Hideki's right in the mix at T4. And, Gabe, I love Justin Rose, but he's leading. I don't think he can maintain it for 4 rounds.
Those of you that have been following me know that we've been doing very well with the NLL this year, the National Lacrosse League. So we got some action tonight. Saskatchewan Rush, -180, hosting the Calgary Roughnecks, +140. The Saskatchewan Rough are a really good team. And in fact, they're actually in first place right now overall in the league with a 6-1 record. Colorado were 5-2. Rochester are 4-2. Vancouver are 4-2. Vancouver got screwed once too. They should be 5-1. Georgia are 4-3, but Calgary, it's rough for the Roughnecks, Calgary. They're 1-5, this team. They've been outscored 81-64 on the season. Now they're going into Saskatchewan tonight to take on a Rush team that have outscored teams by 19 goals through the first 7 games of the season. This is a good sort of, if you guys want to get a head start on the Super Bowl, it's a good one. Saskatchewan Rush and whoever you like in the Super Bowl. But give me the Saskatchewan Rush tonight. And you got the Philadelphia Wings hosting the San Diego Seals tonight. And Philadelphia are the worst team in the league. So they're in last place here. San Diego, it's a little bit deceptive. I don't think any of the players even like live in San Diego. You know, so one thing with this lacrosse league, guys, you look at home this and home that. Most of the players like live in sort of hub cities and just go back to the games. And it sounds weird, but like the players in Buffalo and all, they all, most of them live in the Toronto area. And then a lot of them in the West Coast live in the BC area and stuff. And then they don't make enough money to move to San Diego or to move like, or whatever. Like, so they, it's sort of like they have a cool, like the rugby league is like that. Like they sort of have an interesting setup like that, where I was reading about that with the Vancouver Warriors, that they're like a rarity where most of their players are from Vancouver area or live here. And they were saying it's kind of a rarity in the league, but I didn't realize this until I moved here, but I'm in a part of BC. Like I'm actually shameful that I haven't gone. I can literally see it from my window, the building, the lacrosse
night out.
The Lacrosse Hall of Fame is like 2 blocks from me, Cam.
Huh.
Yeah, yeah. Like the lacrosse was invented here, I think, in New Westminster, BC. Like they, I'm telling you, like it's big, big. Like they, we have, there's a lacrosse arena they made to the champion, like the natives and stuff. Like
yes,
real lacrosse.
Great call
like,
by you.
But the they're on great. The Vancouver Warriors.
Yeah.
Like they play in the NLL too. Like they play in this other league, and then they play in for the Warriors after. And the Warriors are freaking good. The Warriors have always sucked. I swear to God, they've been terrible since I've lived here. But they got good last year, and they're good again this year. I'm gonna get out to a game now. The football season's over, and unfortunately, me and Cam aren't doing the weekend show. I'll go out and start getting blasted on Friday night for lacrosse games.
Lacrosse, like, great to get blasted too. Hey, well, it tells you Vancouver's doing something, because the Rochester Nighthawks are only laying like 25, 30 cents on Saturday against Vancouver. So, yeah, that's interesting.
All right. So, enjoy the weekend, Cam.
You too, Gabe. Safe travels.
For the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Well, I won't leave. I'll be here still on Monday.
I got a colonoscopy on Monday. Hopefully things go smooth. I'm a little bit scared. But anyway, I hope you have a great trip and enjoy the San Francisco Dons game. And maybe you'll see some old Seahawks there, like Cortez Kennedy or somebody like that. That'd be cool.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah. We'll see. We'll try to set it up. Like I said, so yeah, if Cam's gone Monday, there will be no show Tuesday. I'm traveling Tuesday afternoon and stuff, and there'll be no show Tuesday.
Maybe Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
We'll be on Wednesday, Thursday, and most likely Friday. We'll see about Friday. We'll be on the Fridays. So we'll be on the Wednesday, Thursday, Friday with the podcast. I'm going to be on whatever. Look for like sort of live random videos and stuff like that. But I know we got Sean Alexander lined up already. Awesome. So there's one Seattle Seahawk, but yeah, there'll be a ton of the old school Seahawks rolling around there.
Cool.
Doesn't mean they're going to come on my show. But
yeah, that's a good point.
they'll be there.
I'd love you to like find a Cortez Kennedy. Like, I don't know what he's done. He went to Miami, had a good year in college. Like, one of those guys, it'd be cool because I never hear about them. Like, you know what I mean? Like, some guys you hear about, I don't hear about the old Seahawks. Other Alexander does a lot of good charity work and stuff.
I'll
like
share
that.
It next week with people. But, like, the media stuff, guys, like, it's very sort of fake in the sense that, like, put it this way. I remember like 2 years ago, I saw Emmett Smith standing there and I went up to him and I said, "Hey, Emmett, how you doing?" and stuff like that. And I wanted to see like, "Hey, can you just come on for like 5 minutes or something like that?" I couldn't get through like, "Hello, Emmett," like basically. Like he basically too almost told me to F off. Like it wasn't like just no. Like it was like a, like, what are you even like trying for, kid? Like type thing. You know what I mean? And last year I had him on the show, but it was pre-set up by DirecTV, and he was the nicest guy in the world.
That's so crazy,
right? Like, so I'm just saying, like, NFL guys, they're not they do not like being cold called. Like if they're scheduled with you and stuff, they'll be cool and yeah, they'll sit down and stuff. But like, I saw it with JJ Watt, man. Like JJ Watt's a cool dude and stuff, but I saw people going up to him, hey JJ, can I say, and like he looked like he was gonna punch people in the face by the end of the day. Like he was like, no interviews, no. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and it's not like he's a jerk, but if he does one, then everyone else comes up, right? Oh, can you come on my podcast for a minute? Like, and guys, there's like 300 tables there and stuff. So that's what I'm just saying. Like, yeah, I could see like Cortez Kennedy walk by or like, you know, Dave Craig or something like that. But did Cortez Kennedy pass away though?
Did he really?
Just for the record, I'm using his name. As I said that, I'm like, I don't think we're going to see Cortez. Like,
I didn't even know that.
I could be wrong, Cam. I'm just sort of saying. Okay. He's still alive. All right.
He's alive.
No, he's dead. He's dead. He's right.
Dead?
He died. Yeah, he died. Yeah, I was right. Cortez Kennedy.
He did.
Yeah, that's why of all names you used. That's why, Cam, I'm like,
horrible.
No, I'm not going to see Cortez.
I don't even remember that. Like, oh, so I apologize. Holy jeez. I'm so sorry. I didn't realize that he passed. Like, wow, man.
Yeah, when you said it, I was sort of like, it was in my head. And then after when I just said it, I was like, yeah.
Sorry.
No, he's dead. I unfortunately passed away, Cortez. Man, so do it for Cortez. Win the game for Cortez.
I'd like that. He's one of my favorites of all time. Love that guy.
I don't think Dennis Erickson will be there. He's alive, but he's not.
Former Oregon State Beaver coach and Seahawk coach, Dennis Erickson.
Deserves some love.
Yeah.
Like I said, I can go on and on, but we'll share this stuff next week. But some great storylines here in this Super Bowl. Mike Vrabel trying to become the first guy ever to win a Super Bowl on the same team as coaching to a Super Bowl, which would be unbelievable. Coaches that have won a Super Bowl as a player and a coach: Mike Ditka, Tom Flores, Tony Dungy, Doug Peterson. But none of them did it for the it's unbelievable. It'd be the first win for the first team. I'd be like, didn't Mike Ditka win with the Bears? But no, he was a Cowboy, right? So Mike Vrabel looking for his fourth Super Bowl ring. This is crazy too. This is something that's a little bit of an advantage for New England. If you think about it, this is McDonald's first Super Bowl.
It's true.
Mike Vrabel, this is his eighth Super Bowl. He's looking for his fourth Super Bowl ring. Josh McDaniels going for a seventh Super Bowl ring and is coached, I believe, in 10 Super Bowls. So you got a coaching staff that has done the Super Bowl.
That's a great point. That's a really
Yeah, no, that's no one's talking
point.
About it, Cam. If you think about it, like Vrabel's played in multiple Super Bowls. You got McDaniels as coach. Like, they have been there, done it. Like, they know how to go through the week. They know what not to do. Like, they, you know what I mean? That's sort of something that caught my eye. There on the other side of things, though, which is really sort of like a cool story, is Clint Kubiak, who looks like he's going to be the Raider coach, but Clint Kubiak, the offensive coordinator of the Seattle Seahawks, trying to win a Super Bowl on the same field 10 years later where his father won as a head coach. Gary Kubiak won 10 years ago in this stadium against the Carolina Panthers, the game that ruined my life. That game. And you know what's even crazier? Drake May has never played in this stadium before, but he has been to this stadium before. Drake May went to that Super Bowl as a 13-year-old Carolina Panther fan. So Drake May was a 13-year-old Carolina Panther fan. His family were Carolina Panther season ticket holders. They went to the Super Bowl as a family. And now he's playing in the Super Bowl 10 years later. Unbelievable. Hell of a story for Drake May. 23 years old only.
Wow.
Drake May is the youngest person since Dan Marino to start in a Super Bowl. And if he wins the Super Bowl, Drake May will be the youngest quarterback in the history of the Super Bowl to be a Super Bowl winner. So, a lot on the line. Here's another quick thing. Like I said, I got to shut up and get going. But, like, here's another thing, too. People think it's Sam Darnold. This is Sam Darnold's second Super Bowl. Sam Darnold's been to the Super Bowl before, which actually I think will help him too, right? He's been through this. He's seen the media. He knows what to expect. He's been there. Sam Darnold was the backup quarterback on the San Francisco 49ers in the Super Bowl with Brock Purdy.
That's right.
So a lot of interesting storylines here that you only get from me that I steal that find from studying all day from other people. But thanks, Cam. Thanks to Rob Vino. Thanks to everybody for tuning in. We'll catch up with you guys on the grid tonight. Should be fun with the Michigan-Michigan State game. Go Blue. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.